Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about some great events happening across Minnesota this summer. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
June 6, 1944, 160,000 Allied troops landed along a 50-mile stretch of heavily fortified French coastline to fight Nazi Germany on the beaches of Normandy, France. Dwight D. Eisenhower called the operation a crusade in which we will accept nothing less than full victory. More than 5,000 ships and 13,000 aircraft supported the D-Day invasion. And by day's end, on June 6, the Allies gained a foothold in Normandy. The D-Day cost was high. More than 9,000 Allied soldiers were killed or wounded, but more than 100,000 soldiers began the march across Europe to defeat Hitler. This D-Day, I will pause and reflect on what our men and women in uniform have sacrificed for our country. I am in awe of great service in any generation. While demands and pressures are different today than they were on D-Day, selfless service prevails among our service members.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is a friend that's been on the show a couple of times, Ken Drevnik. Ken, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me on. This is very nice.
Ken, it's good to have you back on. You're coming up on your third annual walleye and bass fishing tournament, which you do for the Daniel Drevnik Memorial Fund. And Ken, for those folks that haven't heard you on the show before, you were a state trooper for many years, weren't you?
That's correct. I retired after putting 30 years in. Most of it was done in the metropolitan area here.
Don't look too much worse for the wear, Ken.
Oh, well, it was time to go.
Was it?
it's a young guy's job right now.
And, Ken, we're here today to talk about your son, Daniel Drevnik, who joined the Army National Guard in 2005. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about him?
Well, Dan, he was a very gifted, very spirited person, and very hardworking. And he decided one day that he needed to straighten himself out, and he found a way by he joined the Army National Guard, and he got into the MP unit.
And you and he had spent a lot of time working on cars and driving cars and racing, I think, didn't you?
Yes, we did. We spent quite a bit of time together. We ran the race car all over, and I don't know where he got it, but he was hooked on speed. You know, and he did the motorcycle thing and the fast cars, but we had a great time together. We went all over the Midwest with the race car and spent a lot of time wrenching on the thing, too.
And one of the things that he wanted to do was to eventually become a state trooper himself, going to law enforcement.
That's correct. In fact, he was attending school. He was going to Century College at the time of his deployment. And he was in a law enforcement program there. And that was his goal, someday be a trooper.
And if memory serves me correct, he came home one day and announced to you he was going in the guard, and he surprised you a little bit.
He did. And it was interesting because Dan was very open. He would tell me where they're going, even the friends. And one day he decided he was going out the door, and I say, hey, where are you going? And he kind of mumbled. And I said, what? And he kind of mumbled something about recruiter, and I go, whoa, come back here, talk to me. And so we sat down and we had a nice talk, and I was extremely proud of him. I thought he was doing the correct thing.
To go join the Minnesota Army National Guard.
That's right.
And so he did that, and he was proud to be an Army National Guardsman, wasn't he?
He actually liked it a lot. Of course, he was stationed in Stillwater then. He was an MP with the unit out there, part of the Red Bulls. And he was deployed twice locally with the Guard. They did the Republican National Committee or National, the RNC. And then they went down for the floods down south. And then his deployment actually came to go to Iraq in 2009.
So he was called up for state duty a couple of times. And then 2009, his unit was selected to go to Iraq.
Yes. Yes, there was 158 of the Stillwater unit that went with the Red Bulls out of Rosemont. There was 1,000 of them. And it was one of the biggest deployments Minnesota has had at that time.
And how did he feel about that deployment?
He was good. He knew that he was going to go, and he knew all along that eventually he would go, and he was happy to go fight for his country. You know, he always would say he's not fighting for the politicians. He's fighting for his country, and he was very proud of it.
And I don't think there's anyone in the Air or Army National Guard today that doesn't know that if you join, you're going to be deployed.
You're going to go. That's right.
Because since 2001, over 35,000 of them have been deployed to all over the world, and so they know there's no surprise when that happens, is there?
no, there's no surprise. The multiple deployments are very hard on our soldiers, but, you know, we're getting through that, too.
A lot of them are. We're speaking with Ken Drevnik, and we're going to be talking shortly about his third annual walleye and bass fishing tournament here on Minnesota Military Radio. And Ken, I don't hate to take you through this, but on this deployment, we lost your son, didn't we?
Yes, on July 16th, they were in the compound. They were inside the compound at Basra. Actually, they were getting ready to do a mission. And so they weren't all in their uniform yet. They weren't all in their protective gear. So they were just police in the area, but they were getting ready to go. And a low-flying rocket came into the compound and hit right outside their quick reaction force where they were. And my son and Carlos Wilcox and James Wordish were the other two that were killed. So there's three boys killed that day.
This one of those, the rocket came in and nothing you can do about it, just like in any war zone.
Yeah, little did the general population back here knew that Basra was a pretty hot spot. They were getting rocketed almost every day. And this one happened to be coming in low where the warning devices didn't really pick it up in time. And the warnings went off at the same time it hit.
And Ken, last time you were on, you were telling me the story that you got up early that morning and you heard a doorbell and you came down the stairs and you saw through a sidelight and you knew immediately, didn't you?
Yes. I did several notifications when I used to be a trooper. And there's only one reason that, in this case, the military comes to your door dressed in their finest Class A uniforms.
Early in the morning.
That's right. They coordinated with all the families. And at 5 o'clock, they were at Woodbury, they were in Cottage Grove, and they were in Olivia. And at 5 o'clock, they knocked on the door to inform us what happened.
I'll bet your heart sank right down into your shoes.
It did. You don't know how you're going to get through it. You do. You get your casualty assistance officer, and they're with you for a long period of time trying to control everything because you know the media is going to be there and everything. But you find your way through. And after a while, it takes a while, but my wife and I, we say we found our, you find your new normal. And it is a new normal because it all changed.
And one of the things you found with your new normal was you wanted to find a way to remember Daniel. And so you came up with the Daniel Drevnik Memorial Fund.
Correct. Yes. We wanted to continue his legacy on. And so we came up with the Daniel Drevnik Memorial Fund that we give scholarships away to our military men and women who are going to school to be police officers.
So to kind of follow Daniel's dream.
Correct. Yeah, we follow right along those footsteps. So, and anybody in Minnesota and Wisconsin is eligible if they've served since 2001, they are currently in, and they are attending school to be a law enforcement officer. Just come to our website, heroathome.org, and you can apply.
So over the last 6 years, you found yourself in a position where you're out putting on an event and you're raising funds and you're giving out scholarships.
I never thought that we'd ever be doing this. And, you know, Daniel wasn't the biggest one on school, but now he's become an educator in a way. He's helping these guys get through school.
And it's got to be, and how many of them you've given out now?
We've given away 35 scholarships in the last 3 years. So, and each scholarship is $1,000, so we've given out $35,000.
So there's 35 young men going to school to become troopers. Any women?
Yes, we have several women that we've given scholarships to, yes.
It's got to feel good every time you hand out a check, Ken.
It does. It is very fulfilling, yes.
Ken, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, I want to dive into the walleye and bass fishing tournament, the third annual that's coming up at Craigens on Gull Lake on the 20th of June. We have to take a short break. We're speaking with Ken Drevnik about the Daniel Drevnik Memorial Fund on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Ken Drevnik about the Daniel Drevnik Memorial Fund and also about his third annual walleye and bass fishing tournament called Fishing for Heroes, which will be June 20th up at Craigens Resort on Gull Lake. And Ken, you've got a website. It's heroathome.org. And what all can we find there?
At our website at heroathome.org, you'll find everything from Daniel's story about his enrollment in the National Guard, and people can apply for scholarships on there. So our military men and women can go right online, fill out all the paperwork right there. It comes right to me, email, and all about our fishing tournament. And that's coming up real quick here.
Now, Ken, it's been about 6 years or so. We're coming up on that. You got to the idea that you wanted to do something to honor your son and have people remember him. And you got to the idea of giving out these scholarships for people that wanted to follow his dream, to go into law enforcement, maybe become a state trooper. How did you come about with the tournament? You must not have just one day woke up and said, okay, we're going to do a fishing tournament.
No, it's not that easy. And this actually started off as our daughter's idea. And she came to me and she said, hey, Dan really liked to fish. Let's do a fishing tournament. But her idea was maybe catch some sunfish and sit around and have a campfire. And that's not how it works. This is going into a full weekend event, actually, that we are up at Craigens now. And we were there last year right off the south beach of Craigens on Gull Lake. And we put up veterans and their families. We usually try to hit about 20 veterans and their guests. And we pay for their Friday, Saturday stay. And so they get to stay at Craigens free. Our paid anglers take them out fishing on Saturday morning. And then we have a banquet, which will be on June 20th. And that's silent auction, door prizes. We have so many great, wonderful companies that are willing to donate. And we got tons of door prize stuff. We're just told to give it away. And then everybody eats. And we have our MC this year, who is Bill Lund from KSTP News Anchor. And then Sunday is tournament time. And that starts at 6 a.m. with boat check. And the Red Bull girls will be there handing out Red Bull at 6 o'clock in the morning. And tournament is at 7, and away they go. And then 3 o'clock, they're back in for the weigh-in now.
So it's serious fishing on Sunday.
Sunday is serious fishing. I can't say that all of them are going to catch a fish, because we have a full range of guys that are fishing, from the pros to last year, our youngest entry was 8. And everybody was pulling for him that hopefully he was going to catch the big fish.
Did he catch any?
No, he kind of fell asleep about noon. But
what I see from your brochure here, that there's guaranteed prize money of $7,500 for this fishing.
That's correct. We do guarantee that prize money. Many tournaments are dependent on how many entries they get, but no, we guarantee it. So if we have 20, 50, or 100 teams, we're going to guarantee $7,500 in payout.
Okay, so how many teams did you have last year, Ken?
Last year we had 37 teams fishing, and there's 2 per team. So we had 37 boats going out on Sunday morning, and this year we'll hit about the same, maybe a little bit more. We've got boats signing up every day, and we're looking for a good event.
So you got still plenty of room up there.
Oh, yes, we have plenty of room. The DNR has been wonderful to us. They opened us up that we can have a lot of teams, so we have room. So it's a walleye bass tournament. They pick their species first, and the boat check starts, and they're off.
So they get a choice. I'm going after bass or I'm going after walleye.
That's right.
Okay. And if it was me, whatever I picked, I'd be catching the other. But they can find all the information about this tournament at heroathome.org.
Correct. And like I say, the military men and women can sign up for scholarships there, and people can donate online there. And the anglers, if they're going to enter the tournament, they go to the same website, heroathome.org, and the whole banner has up on top has all to do with the fishing tournament. Just click on the fishing tournament, and it'll take you to a whole page where you can sign up right there, and it'll come right to me and get your tickets there. So, and then I wanted to say that the banquet is actually open to the public. So if somebody happens to be in the Brainerd area at Gull Lake, it's come on over to Craigens Saturday evening, and our banquet starts at 5:30.
We're speaking with Ken Drevnik about the Daniel Drevnik Memorial Fund and his third annual fishing tournament up at Craigens on Gull Lake on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Ken, what does your daughter think of this tournament now when she was thinking about sunfish in a fire?
She thinks it's great, and she helps. You know, she's there, and she helps with the silent auction. My daughter-in-law, she helps with the silent auction. They're all partaking, so they enjoy it.
And you have lots of volunteers?
We do have lots of volunteers, yes. And we've learned we need to rely on those volunteers, because you can't do it all yourself.
You can't do it yourself, Ken. I know that from the tournaments I run. Now, Dutch Cragen, who owns Cragen's, Dutch and Irma.
Yes.
He's a good Korean War era veteran.
Nice, great man.
And they do events all year long to help benefit veterans and their families. How did you get up to Cragen's?
Our first tournament was on Leech Lake. And we found that was a little far, and we were looking for a new home to that we could stay at. And we called Cragen's, and they had room for us, and they fell over backwards to have our tournament there. And they are such great people to deal with.
And there's a young lady up there named Catherine Stotka that organizes all these events, and I've worked with her on many of them. Isn't she terrific?
Catherine is wonderful. She's on top of everything. And if you don't have an answer, she's going to make sure she has it for you, or you know where to get it. I can't say enough about Cragen's, and the place is great. And they help us put on a Class A Act tournament.
Yep, good place. They put on a good tournament, good food, nice quarters, nice place to stay.
Yes.
And it's a comfortable place. So, Ken, we just got a few minutes left, so let's walk through this again. Now, you're having this tournament on June 20th and 21st. It's coming up real quick.
Yes.
It's at Gull Lake in the Gull Chain of Lakes at Cragen's Resort. It's a weekend event, and on Friday night, Saturday, veterans can stay, and you take them out on the boats and just kind of have fun on Saturday. But then the main fishing contest is Sunday.
That's correct.
For serious fishermen. Now, are you fishing on Sunday?
No, there's no time for me to fish. There's so many other things to do. And it's not mandatory that our anglers participate in the Saturday thing, too, because we do have lots of people that want to pre-fish. And there's also the Camp Confidence fishing tournament up there on Saturday. So we have anglers that are fishing for Camp Confidence on Saturday, and then they're coming directly over and fishing our tournament, so they get a two-tournament weekend out of it.
And you've still got room for many more families. This is going to be heard on 23 radio stations all over the state this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So if we can get one more group of fishermen from each of those radio stations, you can handle them, can't you?
We can. That would be really nice. And they can go to heroathome.org, or they can call me directly. My cell phone is 651-324-2122.
And once again, all the contact information is at heroathome.org. And Sergeant Johnny will have a link to that on our Facebook page. So, Ken, we've got just about 2 minutes left. What a tragic but wonderful turn in your life. Think of all the people that you've gotten to meet over the last 5 or 6 years in this effort to raise money to help all our future state troopers. It's got to really feel good.
It does. It does. And we are really proud that we were able to help. We helped many, many military people with their scholarships to help them stay in school. But we had just had our first graduate from the State Patrol Academy. And it was a sergeant that was actually deployed with Dan. And we helped him with scholarship money. And he was our first trooper to graduate. We've had some other officers, some deputies and stuff that have given scholarships to. But he kind of touched our heart a little bit because he's going to the Trooper Academy.
Congratulations. Now, I just got about a minute left. Tell me about this raffle.
The raffle. We were given a one-of-a-kind AR-15 that is custom coated with patriotic colors, red, white, and blue, and it is heat-baked. This thing is absolutely gorgeous. It's laser-inscribed with the Dan Drevnik Memorial Fund. It has the names of the three boys that were killed in Basra and our fishing logo on it.
There's pictures of it on your Facebook page.
There is pictures on the Facebook page. Yes, there is.
Now, what are the details of that? What do they pay?
The raffle tickets are $50 each and need not be present to win. And we're going to pull the ticket during the banquet Saturday night, June 20th. And the tickets are $50 a piece, and there's only going to be 150 sold. So we're keeping it down.
So you've still got some tickets left to sell.
We do have tickets, and they have to, anybody that wants one, they have to contact me, probably by my cell phone, because we're getting close.
So if they go to heroathome.org, they'll find that number.
Oh, yes. Call. You bet. Their contact information is on there, and my direct cell phone number is there.
Ken, I think you're going to have a great weekend again, and I'm sure Cragen's will take good care of you and all of the folks that come up to visit you.
I'm sure they will. We're just hoping for good weather.
Ken, we'll talk to the chaplain and see if he can put in a good word for you.
Thank you. We're going to have him there.
Then make him do it on the spot. Ken, have a great tournament, and thanks for coming back to see us. We want to report on how you did.
Very good. We can do that. Thank you.
That was Ken Drevnik from the Daniel Drevnik Memorial Fund on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about the annual Patriot Ride. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
It's known fondly as the Star Spangled Banner. Old Red, White, and Blue, Old Glory, Stars and Stripes, and the list goes on and on. The American flag is recognized across our country to far-reaching nations, even second and third world countries. Our flag stands as a beacon to the world, representing independence, liberty, patriotism, and freedom. It is a symbol of enduring hope. Each year, June 14th is recognized as Flag Day. Although this is a little known and even less celebrated day, let's commit to spending time reflecting on our flag. Although it's made just of cloth, our flag represents all of those throughout history who have stood against our enemies, braved unspeakable conditions, and sustained injuries. Some even gave their lives. Let us fly it proudly with honor and loyalty. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about the annual Patriot Ride is Patriot Ride board member Tammy Becklin. Tammy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Tammy, how long have you been involved with the Patriot Ride?
I've been involved since the inception in 2006.
2006.
Yes.
Can you tell us how it got started, where it came from?
I'm an employee for Dennis Kirk Incorporated out of Rush City, Minnesota, and it started in a staff meeting. It was 2006, and we, the military, were in a full-scale war with the our enemies in the Middle East, and we were all, you know, concerned about the welfare of our men and women, so we decided that we wanted to do something for them and their families, and a motorcycle ride was what we decided would be a good fit.
And when and how did you get involved with the Patriot Guard?
The Patriot Guard came on board in our second year, and they took over the actual ride piece of the event, and we focused more on the pre- and post-ride activities.
So you've been doing this for quite a few years.
10 years.
10 years. And you've raised a bunch of money doing it.
We have raised more than $1 million for Great. Our causes over the 10 years, yes.
Terrific. And what kind of causes, how did they spend that money in general?
We typically split it up between the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund and the Minnesota Patriot Guard. This year we have brought on board the Minnesota chapter of the Tribute to the Troops.
Tribute to the Troops. We've had them on the show. They do a great job.
Wonderful, yes.
So you've got a lot of good causes that benefit from this big annual ride. And how many riders did you have the first year?
We had 100 riders the first year.
And it's grown considerably since.
3,000.
We were up there and did a show live a couple of years ago from the Patriot Ride.
Yeah.
And it's something to behold to hear all those motorcycles starting at the same time.
Yeah, it really is. Yes, it's exciting.
It's a big day, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
So are you happy to have been involved in it all these years?
I am, yeah. It's a very emotional day. Everybody, I don't even know how to explain it. It's, people love it. They just, it's an experience that everybody should do one time.
And it's open to the public, and it's more than just a ride.
More than just a ride. Anyone's welcome. It's free to attend. If you want to go on the ride, there is a fee of $25, and 100% of that is donated to the causes. But to come and participate is absolutely free.
And it's changed this year, but before it was in a park, and there were some vendors, and there was some food, and there was music, and there was, it's quite an event, isn't it?
Yeah, we still have all of the vendors and music and entertainment. And we put on a military appreciation program, and we have speakers, and it's a full day.
And it's coming up what date this year?
June 20th.
June 20th, and you brought a couple other board members with you.
Yes.
We've got Jim and Diana Beardsley.
Yes.
Welcome back to the show, Jim. You've been here before.
I have. Thank you, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Nice to see you, Diana. Tell us what changes happened this year to the Patriot Ride.
Well, the location's changed. We're going to be going out of the Anoka County Airport, Key Air, So the north entrance, so bigger venue, more room for vendors, and we, Tammy didn't say this, but we have a lot more vendors this year. I think people will be excited about that.
And information on this, we should tell everyone, is at thepatriotride.org.
Yes, sir.
Okay, June 20th, tell us what time does it start?
Well, the ride, let's see, the registration starts at 9. Open the registration at 9, and then the ride takes off at 12.
And where are you going on the ride this year?
Well, it's a 50-mile ride, and it starts at the airport and returns to the airport. And it's, we go up north towards Wyoming and take back roads. It's a real beautiful ride, and there'll be some surprises along the way there.
Jim, in past years, I think the ride went one way and stopped, and there were some festivities and come back. This year, is it just a ride and back to the airport?
Yes, we leave the airport and we end at the airport, which I think will be nice for the riders because then we can get back to the programs that are at the airport or at the ride.
Are you going to have enough riders so the first ones that leave get back to the airport by the time the last ones are leaving?
Well, we're actually concerned about that, but we'll make it work.
All right. Tell us a little bit more about the day. I understand you've got some entertainment.
We do 9 o'clock, 9 to 11. We have Elvis. We have some flyover in the morning. I think that's about 10:45. We also have some parachuters that'll be jumping in. Last year, they didn't quite hit the spot. We had some, you know, winds and things to deal with, but this year they're going to hit the spot. They promised us that. So,
Diana, you're letting Jim do all the talking. Did you really find Elvis? I thought he died.
Yeah, nope. He's in the house. He's in the house this year. So
he's going to be entertaining us.
Right, right.
Is there any kind of formal program this year?
Yeah, we do have a morning and an afternoon program. The morning program, I'm sure, is going to start out with, it's going to be a very military-based program. So they'll start that off, and then that'll kick off the ride, and the ride will leave, and there'll be plenty to do for families or people that just want to hang around while we're out on the ride. And then when we get back, there will be an afternoon program with, like Tammy said, some great speakers on both the morning and afternoon program. We have a program for the Gold Star families that'll take place to honor them. And then, of course, we'll be giving the bike away at the end of the program.
Jim, I was going to ask you about that. You have a raffle every year. Now, I ride around in a cage all the time, and Tim makes fun of me about that. But you've got quite a motorcycle, I understand, that somebody wins each year.
We do. We have a 2015 Road Glide that we'll be pulling a drawing for at the very end of the program.
So you sell those raffle tickets. How much are they, and where do you get them?
They're $20, and you can get them from any of the Patriot Guard riders, Tribute to the Troop riders, anybody that's on the Patriot Ride Committee. And I think you can go to the website and request them to send you tickets.
And once again, that's thepatriotride.org, and I'm sure you'll have plenty of those raffle tickets available the day of the event.
Well, we don't have an unlimited supply because we did cut it off at 5,000, so if you need to get your tickets before they're gone.
So if they're going to get that, get to it right now.
Yep, get on it.
And Jim, we just got about a minute left in this segment. Tell us again, date, times, and location.
June 20th, and it'll be at the Key Air. So it's Anoka County Airport, north entrance. The only entrance you'll be able to go in is at the north entrance.
And all that information, again, is at thepatriotride.org.
Correct.
Okay, Diana, what did he leave out? What did we miss?
I think we're just going to have a lot of fun that day. It's going to be an emotional day, but a really fun day to celebrate our military. And it's a good time for everybody.
I'm guessing that you and your husband had something to do with the Tribute to the Troops becoming involved in this, too, because he was on the show talking about Tribute to the Troops a few years ago.
Right. Yeah, we thought it was a great opportunity for us to come alongside Patriot Guard and MMAF and support this ride.
And Tribute to the Troop raises funds to provide scholarships for the Children of the Fallen.
Correct.
I don't know if there's a better cause out there that I know of. And what a great organization that one is, too.
And like Tammy said, 100% of the money raised goes to these charities, and 100% of the money in those charities go to their causes. So,
Tammy, you helped start something great 10 years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, we're very proud of the event.
All right, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we've made Tim Leonhardt sit over there quietly all during the third segment, and we're going to let him talk a little bit. And we've been talking about the Patriot Ride that's coming up on June 20th. More information at thepatriotride.org. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking in the last segment and this segment about the Patriot Ride. And joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Tom.
That was quite a crew you had in here with, we had Jim and Diana Beardsley and Tammy Becklin talking about the Patriot Ride. It's been around for the last dozen years or so, made $1 million.
10 years. This is the 10-year anniversary of the Patriot Ride.
Raised a lot of money and gave it out to a lot of good causes.
It is.
It's quite an effort. The Patriot Guard, as you and I talk about every month, of course, is made up of volunteers from all over the state.
All over the state.
And all they need is a good heart and a flag and don't even have to ride a motorcycle.
Nope, just some way to get there.
And you guys go on hundreds of missions every year, and you have a big Patriot Ride and raise some money, and you donate some money back. You guys are doing a heck of a job, Tim.
It's an honor to be able to do something for our military.
Honor, dignity, and respect.
Honor, dignity, and respect.
Oh, the Patriot Ride. Have you been to every one of them?
I've been to 9 of them. I wasn't on the very first one. I was on the second one.
Oh, I'm disappointed, Tim. You missed the first one.
Yeah, I know.
So a little change this year. It's not going to be at Ham Lake. It's going to be at the Anoka Airport.
Anoka Airport, Key Air is where it's going to be held at. Bigger venue.
You can handle more people.
Lots more people. Lots more vendors, too, which is something that a lot of people like.
And that's going to be on June 20th.
Yep.
Going to be a real nice, bright, sunny day, right?
Yeah, so far it says 81 and sunny.
Yeah. Your weather forecaster is better than mine, Tim. And the information on that is available at thepatriotride.org.
Yep.
And you're hoping a whole lot of people come out and ride in it?
We are. Ride, too. We're hoping a whole lot of people just come out there because you don't even have to be there to ride. You can come out there and just join the festivities and see the programs that are going on. It's a great thing to see, especially if you have young children. Teaches them a little bit about what our military is doing for us.
Now, Tim, I want you to tell me about this raffle. You're raffling off a motorcycle. And, of course, you know I ride around in a cage all the time.
Yeah.
What kind of motorcycle is it?
Oh, it's a Road King. So
who makes that?
Harley Davidson.
I know what they sound like.
Oh yeah, yeah. A friend of mine always tells me it's always that potato sound. One potato, one potato, one potato.
Okay. So we hope a lot of people. You don't have to be a motorcycle rider to come out.
They don't.
And it's fun to hear a whole lot of them start up all at once.
Oh, it is. It is. It's just a thunder when you hear it coming.
Well, I hope you have a great weather and a great day and a lot of turnout, and it's really a great place to bring your kids and come out and see some of the vendors and have something to eat and see all those motorcycles.
Oh, yeah. We'll have vintage planes there. We'll have, so of course, the paratroopers come in. The kids always like to watch them.
Maybe a couple of vintage Patriot Guard riders.
Well, there's a lot of them.
Tim, we just got about a minute left. Who's eligible to be a Patriot Guard rider?
Anybody. You don't need to have a motorcycle. You don't need to be a veteran. You don't need. All you need is a flag and a big heart. Honor our military, honor, dignity, and respect.
And where do they go to sign up?
Go to our website at mnpatriotguard.org. On the left side, there's a little place that says join us.
All you got to do is click on that, and you join, and you're a member, and watch for the
events that are coming up.
And just show up and pay attention to the organizer. What do you call
yes,
them? The captains,
right? RCIC, road or ride captain in charge.
Ride captain in charge. You know, no acronyms on this show. All right, but for the Patriot Ride, information is available on that at thepatriotride.org.
Yes,
Tim. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks for bringing in those guests.
Thanks, Tom.
It was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Joining me now is the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Patrick Kelly. Director, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Director, you've had another busy year, a lot of stuff going on out at the VA Medical Center, and I understand you've got another town hall meeting planned.
Yeah, so this will be our fourth, and so we're going to be up in Duluth on the 25th of June at the National Guard Training and Community Center 5 to 7. So, you know, these town halls are really listening sessions where we get a chance to interact with veterans, hear from them firsthand some of the issues they're dealing with in their area. So we've been to southern Minnesota, we've been in the metro area twice, and this will be our first foray for a town hall into northern Minnesota. So we're looking forward to meeting with the northern Minnesota veterans, and again, 25 June, 5 to 7.
Director, are you learning anything at these town hall meetings?
Yeah, you know, what is always interesting is that, you know, we sometimes hear things that we don't normally get through the normal course of our consumer advisory boards or other sorts of venues that where we listen to veterans. And so, you know, it's never good to hear that we didn't meet someone's needs, but when we do hear that, you know, we try to do two things. You know, one, we try to address it real time so we can meet that veteran's needs while we're there. And then secondly, if there's a systemic issue related to communication or services or something that we can do better, you know, we take that very seriously. And so, yeah, we've learned a lot of things in the town halls. And again, not always comfortable because we like to get it right every time. But it's good information, and we really appreciate veterans showing up and giving us some good, honest feedback.
Sir, the VA secretary announced a few weeks ago the Summer of Service. Can you tell us a little bit about that effort and what's happening at the Minneapolis VA?
Yeah, that's great. You know, so Tom, you remember well when you came back from Vietnam, you know, sort of the lack of good integration between the military and the community. And so, you know, one of the things that the secretary is trying to do is to make it so that community members, non-veterans, feel more comfortable and are more aware of issues that veterans are dealing with and become more an integral part of community service and community members and getting to know veterans. So our first thing is going to be on the July 1st, we're having an open house here from 12 to 1400 where we're going to invite in the community, and there'll be advertisements, you know, in the newspapers and maybe on the radio. And again, this is not for your normal veterans, but this is for community members, and we want to bring them in and show them what we do, introduce them to some volunteer opportunities here, and again, the thought would be that we want to get them engaged with us and getting to know veterans on a recurring basis, not just a one-time deal, but sign them up for some volunteer services. I mean, we have 1,400 volunteers here, most of whom are veterans or their spouses, and so for us, we hope to add a couple hundred more volunteers. And we would hope for them to be, you know, more community members who otherwise haven't been exposed to veterans' health or veterans' issues. And again, this is just a means for us to become a more integral part of the community and for others in the community to have a better understanding of veterans and veterans' issues.
Great time to do that now that your flag atrium is remodeled, sir.
Absolutely.
Director, can you tell us what's happening at the Fort Snelling Upper Post with the project the rehab project for homeless veterans?
Right, Tom. So that again, Common Bond has been running that. We've been in a supporting role, but that is a terrific project where it's going to be 52 housing units for veterans, 4 for veterans and their families, and 48 single units for single veterans. It is on schedule. It is actually a little ahead of schedule. It's going to be completed certainly by the end of this summer, where all 48 of those other single units will be open. The old NCO quarters, that's already completed, and families are moving into those quarters. But, you know, the really great thing about that is that, you know, these veterans will be living very near the medical center and a lot of supportive services that we provide. And so we're going to make that transition really good and really easy for those veterans. And I think our level of supportive services can be really great, really, you know, given that they're going to be near us, we're going to be near them, and I think it's, you know, Common Bond did a great job in this project, along with MACV and other community organizations, but it's going to be, you know, it's a good service for veterans, and I think the more we can, you know, do things with our community partners, the projects are going to be better, and they're going to be, we can do more of them. So good project, on schedule, doing a good thing.
Director, once again, a lot going on at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Busy year, busy summer for you.
It is busy, but it's rewarding work, and days go fast, weeks go fast. We got a lot going on, as you state. So,
well, thank you for joining us again today, sir.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thanks for having me.
That was Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. We have two mentions today. The first, to honor Minnesota veterans who have gone above and beyond the call of duty, the Minnesota Humanities Center is accepting nominations for its Veterans Voices Award now through June 15. Which is coming up real quick. This award recognizes former and current veterans who are making exceptional positive contributions that improve the lives of Minnesotans. For more information, go to mnhum.org/vets. And next, remember to come to the state capitol in St. Paul from 10 to 2, Saturday, 13 June, for the dedication ceremony for the Minnesota Military Family Tribute. The tribute will forever stand as a personal thank you to each spouse, significant other, child, parent, grandparent, sibling, or any other person, a member or former member of our U.S. military defines as family, who provides the true foundation of support to our military personnel. Rocky Lynn and the Steels will be performing immediately after the dedication. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Ken Drevnik, Jim and Diana Beardsley, Tammy Becklin, Tim Leonhardt, Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Shelleto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we learn about recent activity at the state legislature pertaining to our veterans and talk to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard about diversity in the force. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.